BBC World Service. This is London. That's the place where Sting comes from. This is Massa speaking. Come down from the trees and listen. Here is an address from the Queen.
What would you have me do? Live a lie?
She's mine!
Now it's time for more feline detective work, as Tomcat Selleck stars as our cat detective in Magnum P.I.
Hey, are you Mr. Magnum?
Yep.
I got a delivery for you. It's your new Ferrari, with fluffy mice on the windscreen.
Great.
Sign here, please.
I can't, I just went.
Oh, Magnum, there you are.
Hey, Higgins.
Magnum, must you puke everywhere? Stop scratching the furniture. Come down from the curtains. Magnum, this is Tittle. She needs your help.
Mr. Magnum, I'd like to give you a case.
I don't do that anymore. I'm a detective now.
I'd like you to help track down my husband.
I'll do it if you have dinner with me.
My bin or yours?
Yours. I just moved house, but for some reason I keep going back home.
Oh, Mr. Magnum.
Sorry, I'm late. I got stuck up a tree, and an old lady had to call the fire brigade. I brought you a present. It's on the doormat.
Oh, how sweet. Half a mouse.
The good news is I found your husband. You didn't tell me he'd been to Vietnam.
Yes, he's a vet. Oh, Magnum. Magnum, take me to Basket.
I can't. He neutered me.
Never mind, I have an incredibly flexible spine.
The bad news is I had to shoot your husband. He attacked me.
Did you kill him?
Yeah, eventually, yes, but I twatted him about a bit first. Will you excuse me for a moment? I need to step outside.
Magnum, look out! Some kids are tying a firework to your tail!
What the... Welcome to the Wildebeest Years, where we measure the immeasurable.
Parla the impala.
And penetrate the imp...
Get off me, mister!
The theme of today's, thingy-doodah is eloquence.
It was to have been necrophilia and bestiality.
But that would have been flogging a dead horse.
And now it's time for more jellyfish revelations with the moral guardian of the underwater world. It's the Jelly Stinger Show.
Today on Jelly Stinger, putting yourself in someone else's place. We talk about fish adultery. Welcome to the show. Jeroen is a goldfish. Jeroen, why are you here?
Remember.
Okay, let's move on to Wade. Wade, what's on your mind?
Well, I found a dolphin in a net.
Help me out here. Why did that trouble you?
Annette is my daughter.
Okay, join us after the break when we meet a suckerfish whose father won't let her ride a pike.
Where am I? Who are all these people?
All right, listen up, man. This is Chico Gonzalez, the new rookie. I'm assigning him to Harry Callahan.
Callahan? Chief, are you crazy? What are you doing putting the poor kid with Callahan? Look what happened to his other partners.
Yeah, Frank DiGiorgio's in hospital. Palacio left the country and Fanducci's dead.
Yeah, Chief, the kid's just the rookie out of college.
It's Callahan or nobody.
Hey, I'll work with anybody. I can handle him. Just tell me one thing. Why do they call him Shirty Harry?
Harry, this is your new partner.
I'm always the last to know. Nobody tells me anything. Manners cost nothing, you know. Look at the state of this place. It's a goddamn pig pen. And whose pants are these on my desk?
All right, all right.
And now it's time for great insect bands of the 80s. Please welcome the arthropod world's ambassadors of love, Earwig Brown and Hot Cockroach. For the next item, we introduce Mr. Richard Coles.
Robin Wood, mincing through the glen. Robin Wood, with her merry men. She's made a massive cock-up, she's in the sheriff's lock-up. Silly queen,
don't be mean,
Robin Wood.
What would you have me do, live a lie? She's fine!
Robin.
What now?
I still don't see why we had to surrender. Surely we could have fought our way out of the city.
Oh, my nerve went girlish.
I have never known you flinch from combat.
It wasn't the soldier's girlfriend, it was Maid Marian. Great lump sat sitting there with a face like a robber's dog. I crumbled.
But Robin, what of gallantry? What of honour?
What? What would you have me do? Live a lie?
She's mad!
Oh, clutch your pearls, girls. It's Thor a Thumbscrew.
All right, which of you slappers is Friar Tuck?
Thanks, sisters.
I've got you down to be broken on the wheel. Nasty.
I'll never betray the merry men.
I think you well, my fat mendicant friend. Spin on that girl.
That'll do.
Tuck, are you all right?
All right, I went round three times and you didn't wave once.
Who goes there? Arthur or Martha?
It is I, the Sheriff of Nottingham, you fool.
My lord, what is your pleasure?
Mediterranean cookery and the customs and practice of the Roman bathhouse, sir. Why do you ask?
No, my lord, I mean, what are we to do with Robin of Locksley and his rabble?
Ah, the merry men. Not so merry now, I'll wager.
Oh, I've known worse.
Worse?
Well, when you've done the back room of the Club Torquemada, it takes more than a fat Mary in a leather hood to bring him out in a sweat.
Charmed, I'm sure.
Silence! We shall see.
Robin, what is that strange device with the horn?
Search me.
And that black grooved disc being placed on the revolving turntable?
No idea. So take a look at me now. Ah! Stop it! I can't bear it!
You thought that was bad? Try this.
Now that is one evil queen!
So, are you ready to talk?
Never!
God! Lady Emerald!
Ah! All right, I'm ready enough. What do you want to know?
Where do you and the merry men camp?
Sherwood Forest Town. We're very free and easy.
No. Where is your camp?
Don't tell her, Robin.
I've got Dire Straits, Cliff Richard and the Mr. Blobby Christmas album.
Ooh! All right, I give in. Now, you'll find the camp down Dusty Lane, past Leg of Mutton Pond, hang around under the yum-yum tree. You won't have to wait long.
Midnight approaches. To horse! This is the place. Dismount, men. Draw your swords. Look yonder. There are some men moving around in the bushes, in large numbers, wearing leather jackets and harnesses. Motorcycle boots. I fear we may have made a rather ghastly mistake.
Hello, lover boy. Looking for some action?
Do you know, I knew it would work out, renting the camp to the Midland branch of the S&M Canvas and Caravan Fellowship.
Nice chaps.
Yes, Tucky, but a bit tight around the dish. What did you make of them, Sheriff?
Strangely alluring. Randy and I are leaving tomorrow, by the way. We're getting married in Copenhagen, honeymooning in Mykonos, and opening a tattoo parlour, aromatherapy centre, and art gallery dedicated to the work of Tom of Finland. In Morningside.
Lovely. God bless.
See you, girls. Thanks for everything.
So, worked out fine, then.
Do you know, I feel a song coming on.
Robin Wood, with her merry men. Robin Wood, dragging up again. With handlebar moustaches and slingbacks from Versace's. They're far too tight. She looks a fright. What a sight.
What would you have me do? Live a lie?
She's mad!
Oh.
Censorship. Is it excessive? With me to discuss this is John Thomas. John, you're the president of the Writers Against Nebulous Censorship. Or WANS.
WANS.
This week, we're talking about censorship in music. John, what gets your goat, may I put it in that form?
No, I'd rather you didn't. It's the unforgivable lack of respect with which we treat our great composers by dragging their good names through the filth.
Well, who would you consider to be great composers?
Skikorsakov, Rafe Vaughan Ems, and Fee Mendelssohn, for a start.
Many would say that our living composers are hardly subject to the same constraints.
Then they are forgetting Philip Glip, Sir Michael It, and Pierre Boo.
What about Arvo?
Actually, it's pronounced Arvo T.
Okay, but we must still confront the fact that music is a field which is particularly ripe for censorship. We must guard against an excessive works.
Repertoire are to it voluntaries and anything written for the anglais.
Be that as it may, many composers have written pieces that were just too risque for their time.
Oh, such as?
Well, Tchaikovsky's Cracker Suite.
I beg your pardon?
I'm most awfully sorry. I mean, not sweet.
It's absurd. As you know full well, my most sensitive area is the oratorio. In particular, the magnificent productions of George Friedrich. And never let us forget the indignities suffered by marvellous opera composers like Cini and his glorious Madame a Fly.
Yes. Definitive version, of course, conducted by Canini.
Yes. And we must never forget the greatest composer of them all, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Well, I think the magic flute is an acquired taste. Besides which... Besides which, the greatest composer was Bach. Haven't you considered his organ works?
Well, he had 21 children, so it must have.
Well, perhaps, John, we could finish by having an ice cream. What flavour?
Raspberry nipple. Oh.
Hey, welcome back. Jeroen is with us. Jeroen is a goldfish. Jeroen, what do you want to say?
Well, Jerry, where am I?
Let me give you some advice. Mullet over. After the break, we meet victims of algal abuse who formed a self-help group.
This isn't my house!
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, did I fire 6 shots or only 5? Well, to tell you the truth, I kind of lost count myself in all this excitement. But being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off, you gotta ask yourself a question. Would you do this at home? I mean, look at the state of this place. Would it hurt to get a haircut?
Please! Please!
Oh, they made you do it, did they? Even though you haven't said that line yet. You go ahead and say it. Go
ahead. All right. Please, they made me do it.
Oh, they made you do it, huh? If they told you to jump off a cliff, would you do that too? You won't be told, will you?
All right. Keep your hair on.
And now on the Wildebeest Years, we look up the annals of history to examine...
The Centuries Passage! 1967, August, Paris.
Belgian artist René Magritte, famous for painting a pipe above the slogan, "This is not a pipe," died after smoking a Pope.
1969, February, England.
Human eggs were fertilized in a test tube for the first time at Oldham General Hospital by Patrick Steptoe and his colleagues.
Look what I've done in this test tube, Adolf!
You dirty old man!
1970, June, England.
There was a surprise election victory for Heath. It was the first area of scrubland to become Prime Minister.
1970, June, the USSR. The Soyuz 9 returned to Earth and were acquitted. February, Great Britain.
The first country-wide postal strike took place.
We want a 19% pay rise.
We sent you the check.
We never got it.
1972, London, England.
An exhibition was held at the British Museum of artifacts from the tomb of King Tut.
King Tut, it's time for your burial.
1973, Florida. Skylab was launched, the first orbiting laboratory.
Igor.
Yes, Master.
Prepare for re-entry.
Oh, not again.
1975, July, outer space. A link-up between U.S. and USSR astronauts took place. They crossed over from a docked ship 140 miles above the coast of Britain and shook hands.
Hey, you guys, don't you think that hands has had enough?
Stop shaking me!
1976, September, Great Britain.
The death was announced of Percy Shaw, the inventor of cat's eyes. Before this, cats were always bumping into things.
'Back. Okay, Jeroen is still with us. Jeroen, you're a goldfish. What do you want to say to your wife?
No, it's gone.
Okay, Bill and Charlene are barnacles. Charlene, what's the problem?
Well, Jelly, our marriage is on the rocks.
Why?
Well, Bill uses the net to get pornography. He hangs out with shrimps. He goes curb trawling. And he looks at frogs porn.
What's wrong with frog spawn?
It's demeaning to frogs.
Join us after the break when we talk to a limpet who hasn't seen her husband since he was sucked off by a seagull.
This ain't my house.
And now the radio foreplay. Sorry, I'll read that again. And now the Radio 4 play.
We present Barry White and Lots of Dwarves. Once upon a time in Morning Wood, there lived an undisclosed number of all-male dwarves who lived happily together in a cottage.
Hi-ho! Time for work! Sneezy, sleepy, dopey, Starsky! Where's Starsky?
He's in his hutch.
Starsky, your badge is on the line.
Oh, no. Hello?
Hi, Starsky, it's your badger.
Grumpy!
Yes, coming!
What's wrong? What's wrong with you today?
I don't know, I just got up this morning and felt happy.
Long ago, when the world was young, the elements came together to create the Seven Dwarves Feeling Happy gag.
What about the others? Where's Heidi?
Can't see him.
Don't listen to Colostomy, he's full of it.
You in the shower, Droopy.
What is it now?
Not you, I was talking to Happy. Right, it's time for work. Come on, men, start the singing, Morrissey.
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Look, there on the ground, a little frog. Hello, froggy.
Frog nut, am I? Jedi master I am.
Whatever.
If kiss me you do, turn will I into the sexiest thing alive.
Great, who's gonna do it? Whoa there, Randy, just a kiss.
Seduced by the dark side of my being.
Oh no, it's a big bloke. Who are you?
Well, the name's Barry White.
in the palace of the Wicked Queen.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the sexiest of them all?
I don't know, ask the dressing table.
Table?
Well, the sexiest of them all is... Barry White.
Barry White, eh? I don't get it.
Back in Morning Wood, the dwarves ready themselves for work.
So, it's off to work you go. Well, they say that many hands make light work. But you know, I only need one hand to make the light work.
Come back with us to the cottage.
I'm sorry, boys. I don't do that anymore. I'm a soul singer now. Well, dwarves, it's a mighty nice cottage you got here.
Thanks, Barry. Let me introduce you to some of the boys. This is Trotsky.
Hello.
Dostoevsky.
Hi.
Stimpy.
You idiot!
Wookie. Muttley. Muttley. Zippy.
Jeffrey!
Sweeney.
Shut up!
Trippy.
All right, man.
Catastrophe.
Whoops.
Scully.
There has to be a rational explanation for this.
Scotty.
Show no ticket, Captain. My accents are worth 12 already. I think I'm going Pakistani, my God.
You know, someone once said, let them eat cake. And she was right. I need food. Are you the cook?
I'm Ainsley.
What's for dinner, Ainsley?
Well, if I can stay sane for a minute, meh, it's rabbit. Can you help me gut it?
You mean you want me to run my fingers through your hair? Kinky.
What?
Oh, sorry, are you kinky?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm kind of kinky too. Why don't we just sit down here?
Yeah, all right, all right. Hold the love, Barry.
Shirt is coming.
Oh, no, hide.
Look at this place. It's a pigsty.
Hello, Shirty. I'm Barry White.
Well, Barry, you got to ask yourself a question. Do you feel lucky?
I haven't got to him yet.
And lo, the elements mutated to form the variation on the feeling happy gag.
Barry, there's a wicked old lady here to see you.
Applegram for Barry White. Applegram for Barry White.
Ma'am, I don't want to chew on your apple when I can have your pear or your melons.
In the beginning, the Lord God created the rude fruit euphemism.
Just eat the apple, will you?
I'm feeling sleepy, and I'm suddenly tired.
In the beginning, blah, blah, yeah, yeah.
Barry White's been poisoned!
And so Barry White was laid to rest in a glade in the woods in a glass coffin, where he slept until one day a handsome prince came riding by.
Why, what's this? It's a beautiful... Well, anyway, I'll kiss him.
Oh, hey, man, somebody must have poisoned
him. Hey, look, lads, that prince has snogged Barry White back to life.
I'm not a prince. I'm Princey Wincy Quincy. Royal Prince Spider Pathologist. This wasn't suicide. It was murder.
I'm not dead.
Shut up. I know who did it. You, the little guy. You're guilty.
No, I'm innocent.
No, you're not. Innocent went off in the 14th century to become the Pope. Someone here is guilty.
I know who. It's guilty.
Oh, not again.
Wish it was called Brian.
The Wildebeest Years was written and performed by Dan Friedman, Nick Romero, with special guest Richard Coles.
She's mad!
Music was played by the Gents, and the producer was Julian Mayes.